From KALW News in San Francisco, I'm Ben Trefney with the Cross Currents Morning Report. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from Benicia.
Sunset District.
I live in Lakeside.
The Western Addition.
Diamond Heights.
Emeryville, California.
Westwood Park.
We'll start our election coverage with Bay Area labor interests, for whom it was a very good night. It started shortly after the California polls closed when major networks began declaring a Barack Obama victory. Then, State Proposition 32, which would have limited how unions could contribute to political campaigns, was defeated. And Proposition 30 passed, meaning Californians taxed themselves more than $7 billion to help pay for public education. It played out perfectly for Tim Paulson. He's executive director of the San Francisco Labor Council, which represents more than 100 unions in the public and private sector.
This is what happens when workers really want to get together and protect their rights at work and their civil liberties. So we're very excited about where it's moving, but it's not over yet, and America has not changed enough yet. But I think that when we organize, we win.
This morning, students at the University of California announced they'll continue organizing to push for reversals to tuition hikes and campus cutbacks. They have scheduled a walkout at Berkeley and other campuses for Thursday. Californians voted on 9 other ballot measures, including 2 that had to do with the criminal justice system. 1 was to get rid of the death penalty, Proposition 34, but voters rejected that idea by a 53-47% vote. That means the death penalty will continue to be implemented in California as is. However, they decided to revise the 3 strikes law. Now the 3rd strike must be a serious or violent crime in order for somebody to receive a 25-year-to-life sentence. Voters overwhelmingly approved that with 69% of the vote. Voters also rejected genetically engineered foods labeling, and they decided to approve redistricting the state Senate per the Citizens Advisory Committee. We'll focus in now on San Francisco, where just over half of registered voters cast ballots. Not surprisingly, they supported the Obama-Biden ticket with nearly 83% of the vote. Former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and fellow Representative Jackie Speier were both overwhelmingly reelected. All told, it made for a short and frustrating night for Republicans. Local GOP head Harmeet Dillon ran against incumbent Mark Leno for his state Senate seat and got only 15% of the vote. She reflected on her loss by remembering another Republican, Abraham Lincoln, who also lost many elections.
He knew he was not going to win when he ran, but he ran out of principle. And we ran out of principle here in California, so I ran because I'm an American, I'm a taxpayer, and I cannot accept our current leadership. And so I ran as a citizen who wants to see different leadership. And so I might not win this time, I might win in the future.
In the state assembly, Tom Amiano easily won re-election, and San Francisco assessor recorder Phil Ting will now take a seat alongside him as a new assemblyman. In fact, Democrats are on their way to securing a supermajority of the state House and the Senate. That means holding 2/3 of the seats in each legislative house. The supermajority would give them the ability to pass legislation to increase taxes and would also mean the legislature could override a veto by the governor. It could change a political landscape that's been extremely divided and often stagnated on stalled legislation. Currently, there are only 2 Senate seats needed by the Democrats to achieve the supermajority status. They currently hold 25 of the 40 seats in the state Senate. Results are still being counted across the state, and Democrats are winning 7 of 8 critical districts in the assembly and 3 of 5 contested Senate seats. Turning now to city politics, Eric Marr retained his supervisorial seat in a hotly contested battle with David Lee. Board President David Chu and progressives David Campos and John Avalos all won handily, if they even had opposition. They're joined by Norman Yee and London Breed, who defeated Mayor Lee appointee Kristen Olugu in District 5. San Franciscans were feeling pretty good about their ballot measures. They accepted almost every one, beginning with Measure A, a city college parcel tax that will fund the school with more than $14 million. Will Walker is a student trustee at CCSF. He was relieved the measure passed.
I think that City College is a lot happier tonight. And I think that San Franciscans stepped up to the challenge of funding public education here in San Francisco, something that has not been a priority for our state. And I know that people are worried, but I kept my optimism high, and I actually had the fear that they would win and 30 would not, and we're going to be in a situation where Prop 30 is funding that goes directly to the classroom, and we have administrators that aren't so happy, a new leadership team at City College that aren't so committed to directing Prop 8 funds into teaching. And so that's going to be the next challenge at the board level, is to demonstrate whether or not we'll be able to keep the level of classes that we expect for spring.
San Francisco voters also passed a parks bond and a housing trust fund. They passed a gross receipts tax that will change the way businesses are charged for operating in San Francisco. That one had the wide support of the city's burgeoning tech industry. They even rejected the Supreme Court's Citizens United ruling with a symbolic vote opposing corporate personhood. In fact, the only ballot measure San Francisco voters turned down was F. That was the idea of restoring the Hetch Hetchy Valley by exploring ways to take down the O'Shaughnessy Dam in Yosemite National Park. Nearly three-quarters of city residents turned that one down, but Restore Hetch Hetchy Executive Director Mike Marshall said in an email to his supporters that he was actually encouraged. The campaign, he wrote, gained national attention and educated San Franciscans about the impact of the water system on Yosemite. So we can expect to hear more from this group. Let's cross the bay to the east side now, where voters considered some significant social legislation. Berkeley voters narrowly defeated Measure S. That would have made it illegal to sit on a commercial district sidewalk between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. Violators would have faced a $75 citation after a warning, and subsequent violations would have resulted in a misdemeanor charge. San Francisco currently has a similar sit-lie law in place, but Berkeley will not follow suit. Bob Offer-Westhort is the campaign manager for No on S. He says the defeat of Measure S makes Berkeley a national leader against laws criminalizing homelessness.
We know they don't work. We know they're hurting our communities. We know they don't help businesses. We know that they're a distraction from creating strong communities, from creating strong local businesses. And it's time to push back, and Berkeley is the first place in the country where that's happening.
Also in Berkeley, voters re-elected Mayor Tom Bates with more than 50% of the vote. North of Berkeley, in the city of Richmond, Measure N was not approved. It would have charged 1 cent more per ounce of any sugar-sweetened beverages sold within city limits. The vote that would have brought the city an extra $3 million in revenue was rejected by a large margin after soft drink companies put millions of dollars into the No on N campaign. Still, Councilman Jeff Ritterman, who wrote the measure, says it's really a new era around sugar-sweetened beverages.
I predict that there'll come a time you'll pick up a can, and on the side of the can it'll say, warning, regular consumption of this beverage will increase your risk for a heart attack, stroke, and diabetes. Because that's the truth.
Richmond Measure N, even though it failed, can be considered one of the opening salvos in the battle against big sugar. In Alameda County, voters considered two ballot measures that would require two-thirds votes. One dealt with transportation and would have levied a 1 cent sales tax hike. The other was a parcel tax that would have supported the Oakland Zoo. While both received support from a majority of voters, they did not achieve the supermajority, so both votes failed. Sticking with Oakland, city council races were up for grabs, including an at-large seat. That was taken by Rebecca Kaplan, who defeated former council president Ignacio de la Fuente. For KALW News, I'm Ben Trefney.